What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.
Hey, everyone. It's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
You're in the madhouse now.
Critical hit Punch All Nazis takes place in the early days of World War II and combines high adventure with cosmic horror. All dates, locations, and historical events are thrown out the window in order to create a fun story, so don't put too much thought into historical inaccuracies. All accents are done poorly, but with love, and no disrespect is intended. Last time
on Critical Hit.
Travel tips. Tip number one, stay on the path. Tip two, respect the locals. Tip number three, keep an open mind. You have arrived in Barlow, Kentucky, a very small, poor town on the very edge of the Appalachian Mountains. And it is snowing, and you are in the middle of the road. There's a general store, a mercantile, a post office.
Let's take it into the gas station and see if we can get directions there.
You pull into a gas station to fill up, and a man walks out, and again, he also is dressed for cold weather. He's got his gloves on, his hunting cap. He's got a pair of really thick bib overalls on and a very thick plaid shirt on underneath that. He knocks on your window.
Yep, roll it down. Unless he's probably on the driver's side.
Roll it down.
Oh, howdy, boys. I haven't seen a car like this fancy in a long time. What brings you here to Barlow?
Here to visit the family of a friend of ours.
Oh, yeah? What friend is that?
Theodore Whitmore.
Oh, Whitmore's. Yeah, they're good people. Good people. Shame, though, about their boy. And he's patting himself, trying to keep warm.
Mm-hmm. Could you tell us what direction we need to head to get to them?
Oh, boy. He kind of scratches his head and he's kind of looking up into the sky. Well, you need to take this road right down here. And he's pointing down in the direction. And you need to go that way. And you are looking for, Black's Holler. If you get to Boggs Holler, you've gone too far. That's another podcast. But you're looking for Black's Holler. And then you're going to want to turn up and go up that road now. It's a narrow road up in them mountains. Whitmore's are way back up in there. And he kind of looks up at the air and gives it a little sniff. I think there's a storm coming. So if you're going to get out there, it's going to take you most of the rest of the day. They expecting you?
No, I don't suppose you know their code. It goes right like that, like a telephone thing, right? It's like, give me 3 Barlow or whatever.
Telephone, that's a good one. Ain't nobody up in there got no telephones.
Yep. Well, I guess then we're showing up unannounced.
Uh-huh. All right. I fill her up.
If you don't mind. Also, can I just ask? We saw the mining syndicate. How is that doing?
It's doing okay. A lot of the mines have tapped out, especially after the explosion Oh, when was that explosion? Many years ago, there was an explosion shut down half the mine. So it's the output's not as much as it used to be, but, you know, still keeps food on the plate for most people that's around here.
Okay. All right.
And he goes and goes to start filling up the gas tank.
Dutch will pull out a dollar and be like, yep. It's not all technically dried up, but that's probably close enough. And he'll like toss it on top of the book that Valentino's probably reading.
Ah, oh, hey, yeah, thanks. Yeah,
gents.
Yep.
Like a bookmark.
We all end up.
After a few minutes, you hear the final ding of the gas pump and see the old man putting it back on there. And he's like, you sure boys are going to go out there? This car, he keeps patting himself and kind of stamping on the ground. This car doesn't look like it's going to be able to handle them roads.
I don't suppose the shop has a loaner that has like a higher clearance.
It might. Why don't you boys come on inside and we can see what we can work out.
All right.
Good thing.
Are you going to just leave the car right there by the gas pump, taking up spaces for other people who might want to come in and get gas?
Wherever.
Okay.
There's a spot.
Yeah, presumably there's
what kind of rude idiot do you think I am?
Yeah.
First class.
Where you're raising a barn.
You just pull up a little bit and you find a spot to park. And you guys go into the gas station, which is attached to the cafe. And the minute that you guys go in, you can smell like, fried food. Like chicken fried steak, chicken fried chicken, chicken fried mashed potatoes and gravy, chicken fried coffee.
Chicken fried
apple pie, chicken fried ice cream.
So, we'll try to talk to the guy about maybe letting us borrow his truck. And,
here's the thing.
Come back around and have some chicken fried something.
All right. Well, boys, here's the thing. I've only got the one tow truck. And with the weather, it kind of is in a little bit of a demand, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
So I would be out quite a bit if I were to loan this to you. You see what I'm getting at?
I understand. We might test our luck. What do you think the problem's going to be? Just the ice? Should we get chains or?
Oh, it's going to be muddy and there's not going to be much road. You're probably going to slide off the side of the mountain and kill yourselves. You know, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Clayton? What is it, woman? Are you trying to annoy those young men? I'm not annoying them. I'm trying to strike a deal. Ah, now, where were we? You see, I'm going to be out of some money if I let you guys take the truck.
Oh, I see. I see.
Uh-huh. It's going to be like a couple of days worth of pulling people out of the snow, if you know what I mean.
Sure, sure. How about we compensate you for a few of those toes?
So he kind of looks at you like he doesn't understand the word compensation.
Oh, right. How about we front you some of that money?
How much was you thinking?
How about $100 for both days?
Why don't you roll a persuasion plus reason? D2.
And have I talked to him long enough to?
Oh yeah.
Got my subtle cues.
Okay. Yep.
Then I will pick up a free momentum die.
Okay. Ooh, only one success.
One success, but I have a charm focus and I have a 3 in persuasion. So this might be 2 successes.
Nice. All right. So 2 successes then. Very good. Your subtle cues are almost not needed because at the mere mention of $100, his eyes go really big. And if this were a cartoon, you'd see like dollar signs rolling up in his eyeballs. $100, you say? I think I think we can work out a trade. How about this? $100 for the 2 days. You pay for any damages you do to the truck. And because my missus and me needs a way to get around, we take your car in exchange for the same time period. Just to drive around town, mind you, not to pull people out of ditches or anything like that.
Sure, sure.
Is that a sure, sure as in yes?
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay. He kind of licks his lips. He's like, all right, let's $100 then.
I'll pull out $100.
Now, from your safe, do you remember, Dutch, were these all in like $100 bills or these $1 bills?
It's probably a mix at this point because we've been spending money. Okay. So it's probably like what, like a 50, it's like a 50, 2 20s and a 10, right?
Okay. As you lay out the 50, you just see him licking his lips a little bit more. And even though it is warm in this gas station, you see like a bead of sweat rolling down his forehead from under his hat. Like, oh my gosh, I've just hit the jackpot kind of thing. And he's got his hands holding out and his hands are kind of shaking as you're putting the money in. And he's still trying to be very, you can tell he's trying to be very cool about all this without letting on that this is probably the most money he will make in the next 6 months.
Yeah.
And after you hand out all the money, he kind of picks him up. And goes, no, hold on just one moment, boy. And he kind of snaps the money and he's holding it up to the light. And he goes, there's a bunch of revenues around these pots. Looking into some counterfeiting and bootlegging. And he's this money looks all right. Then he kind of folds it up and puts it into his pocket. And he's like, I think we got a deal. And he reaches out his hands to shake with you.
Yep, I'll shake his hand. Okay. What do you say?
Clayton Morrow is his name.
Morrow.
Yep.
You have a son named Thomas?
No, we was not able to have kids.
Aww.
Rob, why don't you roll me an observation plus insight?
Because it's bad?
I don't know. Let's just see. You're the one that's starting to talk with Clayton Morrow. D1.
Rob was making a stupid joke for Matthew.
Too late now.
Hey. One success. Very good. You notice that as the man is now taking off his gloves to examine the monies, Bliscoe, you notice like a black sore right on his wrist. It's almost like if his hand were down, the flannel shirt would be covering this like black pustulating kind of sore on his wrist. But now that he's holding the dollar up to the monies up to the light, you can see it very clearly. On his wrist when he says, we were not able to have kids.
Well, that's unfortunate. I'll kind of nudge Doc.
That is fame.
Well, now, and after he's done shaking your hands and everything, Dutch, he's like reaches into his pocket and he pulls out a pair of keys. There's two keys on there. Obviously, he's doesn't believe in putting the spare key somewhere else.
Of course.
It's all on the same chain, and he just kind of slides it over to you. You take care of Betty now.
Yep.
You got a good driver because them roads get narrow, and them roads can get scary.
Yeah, if you don't mind, we're going to have our driver take a quick look at it. Blisco will order you something. What do you want? Biscuits and gravy?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Cora, them boys going to stay for some food. All right, Clayton, I'll start working. Have them take a seat anywhere they like. And there's like four tables that you could go sit at. There's like one or two other people that are sitting there. One of them, at the mention of $100, you can tell he's kind of checking you guys out, and he keeps looking out the window at the car and looking back at you guys.
Well, you know, when I inevitably catch him looking at us, we'll just give him a polite nod.
Yeah, he kind of quickly looks back down at whatever he's doing. I think he's got a copy of the newspaper, the what is it called? The Barlow Beacon that he's reading. All right, well, and he kind of holds out his hands because he wants keys to your car.
Blisco has those.
Yeah. Hand them over?
All right. Yeah. He kind of smiles, puts them in his pocket. All right, boys, 2 days. You're late. Another $100, right?
Sure.
Man can barely contain himself.
That's funny.
I kind of want to note the exact time.
I think we're going to have to negotiate that no matter what.
Let's say that today is January 20th. It took you that long to get down here. Mm-hmm. Almost a week to get down here. So it's January 20th. He expects the car to be back at end of the day, 3 o'clock time, by the time the sun goes down, 3 o'clock on the 22nd.
All right.
Did you want to go check out the truck? Let's go.
Yeah, absolutely. All right.
So you go out in, the old man, Clayton Morrow, leads you out into the repair shop area, the garage repair shop. And sure enough, there is a pretty old truck. This is definitely a 1920s truck. It is rusty. It is beat up. It's got a big, hook on the back for pulling people out of trouble or towing cars that are need trouble. But this is one of those trucks that is a workman's truck. So it's actually got a double seating in it. So there's a front seat and a back seat to this. Nice. So there's more than enough room for everybody and all of your stuff to fit in there. When you fire it up, it does backfire a couple of times and there's a lot of black smoke that comes out. But after about a minute, the black smoke kind of levels off and the lead fumes coming from the gas don't quite knock you out, but it's pretty close. You probably should make sure that you are operating this vehicle in a well-ventilated area.
Yeah.
But it looks like it's going to get you where it's going. It's got big, thick tires on it. It's a stick shift, obviously, so you can drive that. And on the side of it, it's got Morrow Towing.
Oh, Morrow.
I'm just sitting here and just imagining a rocker up on top.
Well, this should get us there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You go back in, and sure enough, one of the people that were sitting at their table has gotten up and left. Those of you who were sitting around, you heard him say, you know, thank you, Cora. Great meal as always. I'll see you tomorrow's, Harlan. And Harlan puts on his hat and his coat, and he is walking out the door as you are walking in. So what's everybody going to eat?
Well, Dutch will order some biscuits and gravy for Lisko.
Okay.
And biscuits probably, and gravy, yeah. Probably the chicken fried steak for Dutch, and up front without like thinking about or waiting, a slice of pie.
Oh yeah. What about you, Valentino? Unless your head's too buried in that book.
Oh, food. Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Where are we?
So this is getting close to your territory, Valentino. So I'm sure they have all of the southern foods that you would be interested in.
It's a little late in the day for some grits.
And she looks at you and kind of laughs. Oh, it's never too late for grits.
Actually, chicken fried steak sound real good. I'll have one of them.
All right. And for you, and she kind of takes a startled step back when she takes a look at you, Doc.
Ask if she has any goetta.
She kind of just stops and she kind of looks at blankly at you. And then she kind of looks at Dutch and then at Blisco, like she doesn't understand what language this guy is speaking.
Give her a shrug.
Can I have a chicken fried chicken with some chicken fried beans?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Would you like some, chicken fried okras?
Oh, that does sound good. What kind of pie did you say you had?
We got chicken fried apple pie, chicken fried peach pie, chicken fried pumpkin pie, chicken fried pecan pie, and chicken fried pie.
Oh, definitely pecan. I may need two slices of pecan, if that's all right.
Ooh, okay. Anything to drink?
Dutch will quickly and desperately run through his mental catalog of, like, if he says like, is this a sweet tea area or a regular tea area?
I'm probably going to go with a sweet tea area.
This is definitely a sweet tea area.
Okay.
Then, and I hate it.
Yeah, the Dutch will definitely say, how about a pitcher of sweet tea for the table?
And she just kind of looks at you and just says, I think you just mean tea.
Of course.
And she wanders off, and in a little bit, she brings back the food. The door opens, and in walks a man, a tall man, and he's got a scarf wrapped around his face, and he's got some earmuffs on his ear. And as he takes off his jacket and his scarf, you see that this man is wearing a black shirt with a white collar around his neck. Good day, Cora. Good day, Clayton. Preacher to good. Nice to see you. Preacher to good. Nice to see you. It's a cold one today. Colder than I've ever seen. Oh, yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. And he sits down, and she comes over and pours him some coffee, and she sets out a sandwich of something, a chicken fried sandwich of some kind. And it's like a regular for him. Billy Ray coming anytime soon? I got him cleaning out the church again. That boy caused me all sorts of trouble. Yeah, boys will be that way, says Clayton. Again, the man who doesn't have any kids. As you guys look at Preacher to Good, it's D'GOODE for those of you that care. You notice right behind his right ear, right on the edge of his jawline, you also notice a black splotch.
Do we all notice it?
Everybody can roll me an observation plus insight. D1. Let's go. yes, you get a success, but the preacher notices you staring at him. Well, good day, son. How's the good Lord treating you today?
All right, sir.
Uh-huh. Is there something I can help you with? You need some comfort in this cold weather.
Just a kind word will be enough, sir.
Well, may the blessings of the Lord be upon you in your travels. Not from around here, I notice. What brings you here?
Condolences for our friend's family, mostly.
Oh, yeah, what family is that? I've been given many blessings lately.
Whitmore's?
Oh, yeah, the Whitmores. A couple months ago, our boy died over in Europe. Yeah, mm-hmm. Sad. So sad. I hope my boy never gets involved in that nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Hope so, too, sir.
Why'd it take you boys so long to get here?
We were still deployed.
Oh, military. I see. Well, nothing. Please don't take offense to my comments. I just, you know. Man's only got his son to carry on his legacy, and Billy Ray is my only son.
No, we understand.
Yeah.
And he's biting into his sandwich. Mm. Cora, mighty fine sandwich today, Cora. Brian, you are so absorbed in your book that you do not notice the chicken fried pecan pie. Right next to the table, and you knock it off and make a big mess in the middle of the room. Everybody, Clayton, Cora, the other customer, Preacher Good, everybody just kind of stops and stares at you.
My apologies. Let me get that here and start.
No problem. Cora says, and she kind of bends down. She's an older woman, so you can hear her kind of grunting as she's trying to get down there and clean up that mess. You can hear her muttering something under her breath. Sorry, preacher. That's all right, Cora. So there's all sorts of knickknacks and things in here in addition to the food that you guys have. You know, there's gum, there's candy, there's, you know, the beef jerky, there's newspapers, magazines, you know, those kinds of things. Blisco, the tea is the sweetest tea you've ever tasted. It is so much sugar that I'm sure if you clinked the edge of the glass, that the solution would completely fall apart and sugar would just magically appear at the bottom of your glass.
Let's go. Okay with this. Rob absolutely hates this.
I mean, Blisko's from Nebraska. He could have a strong opinion about this.
I mean, I certainly would.
Yeah. I feel
Doc,
like our European listeners don't understand the regular T sweet T divide, but it's a thing in the US.
Yeah.
And as someone who wasn't born in the US, I've definitely had people like shout at me about putting sugar in my tea.
Yep. You've all fought in the sugar tea wars.
I put sugar in my tea.
Yeah.
He's bitter.
Oh, okay. Cause I'm a non-sugar tea drinker. And, when I moved to Atlanta, I was in for a rude awakening again, just like, Cora said, we call it just tea, there. Mm-hmm. If you say tea, it's just, you're getting sugar tea, the sugariest tea as you ever could.
You're and better off ordering so I a very Coke. Quickly, it'll have less sugar.
Yes, it'll have less sugar. I very quickly learned to say unsweet tea. And I swear the first couple of times at the restaurants that I was in, they're very Southern restaurants. They were very much, I'll have to look and see if we have that kind of attitude.
Okay.
So, yeah. So that is some of the other things that you see in the gas station. Preacher Good is busy eating a sandwich. The other man is just looking out the window and sipping on what looks like coffee. Cora and Clayton are going about their business.
Do they have any matches?
They do have a book of matches.
Do we carry matches? I think we need
Dutch probably carries a book of matches with him or a lighter. I think we've talked about him having a lighter before. So actually, Dutch probably has a nice fancy lighter.
Yeah. But if you'd like to pick up buy a book of matches. You could do that.
A book of matches and maybe some of that,
like 5 cents. Water,
you know, that stuff there.
Yeah, beach there's nut. Some, no, it's not beach nut. It's blackjack gum. The licorice tasting gum. So you got the blackjack gum. That's 5 cents. The book of matches, 5 cents. There's magazines, newspapers, newspaper, I guess. The local newspaper is there.
Oh, cigarettes.
You know, there's cigarettes there, yes. There's some candy. There's a cooler or refrigerator of some kind humming in the back, but it's probably got some SoD pop in it. Everybody roll 4 will plus resilience D1.
Oh,
will plus resilience D1. Let's see how everybody fares.
Yeah,
is Southern fried Kentucky fried food.
This isn't about being intimidated or scared, is it?
It's about whether the food is good enough for your palate or whether it does not sit well with you. Valentino, oh man, this is just like home. This is better than, this is the best food that you have had since you entered the military. So Valentino succeeds. Yeah. Doc, there's something about the chicken fried okra that really sits well with you.
Yeah. Reminds me of Bolomos.
Dutch, surprisingly, the chicken fried pie was the best chicken fried pie that you have ever eaten. And you may want to come back and eat here again. You definitely make a mental note to say that, hey, before we leave town, I want to stop here and get me a whole chicken fried pie.
Nice.
Good thing we have to stop back here anyways.
Let's go. You also succeed. Yeah. So this is good. The sweet tea is okay. It doesn't taste like it tastes like they did mix sugar and like honey together to sweeten this tea. So it's a little bit different than what most of you are probably used to, especially, you, Valentino, but it is still a pleasant taste. Almost at times you can get a hint of clover, on the tea.
Yeah. What is this? Like an orange pico? Like
is that a bergamot? What is that?
Yeah, it's like a just black tea.
Yeah, it's like a black tea. Yeah,
sugar honey iced tea.
Yep, sugar honey iced tea.
I'm picking up what you're putting down, Stephen.
Yeah, hey man, if you haven't had, I will say this: if you haven't had honey sweetened drinks. Ooh, I'm not big on the honey sweetened tea, but like honey sweetened lemonade, like your lemonade is made with honey. Oh my God, that's like the best. And if it's native honey, of course, it's going to have taste of local flavor.
Mm-hmm.
So Brian, you were oblivious to the black spot on the preacher's neck. Carlos, you definitely saw that.
Mm-hmm.
Doc, you saw that.
Yep.
Doc, what are you thinking?
I'm still not sure what those are, but I definitely want to point it out to everyone who's actually paying attention. So probably still not Valentino.
How are you doing that? Hey, look at that funny mark on that man's neck.
I'm more subtle than that.
All right. Usually. How about you roll me an insight plus? I think the only thing that we have that's close to like a history or memory check would be what? Insight plus academics?
For like history? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that's literally one of the focuses for academics history.
Yeah. So this would be recent history. So roll me an insight plus an academia.
I can do that. You know, I am an academic.
Okay, how about this? You can either roll an insight plus an academia, or you can roll an insight plus medicine check. Depending on which one you use, may result in different answers.
Insight plus medicine is so good. Oh, you know what? I'm going to try it because it's clearly insight not plus a medicine. Trap. Yeah, it's clearly not a trap. Steven is clearly not trapping us.
Two successes.
Four total successes.
Four successes. All right. So you guys have maxed out on your moment.
Because I rolled twice.
Well, only roll once. But aren't you...
Oh, well, that would only be three successes then, because the two would give me the thing on my...
Yeah, you're still at max momentum.
Okay.
So you, just leaving Arkham with your thoughts on medicine and failed medicine and all of those kinds of things. And rolling into town and seeing that this is a mining town, your medical sense of mind instantly thinks that, oh, this is some kind of like black sickness or something that comes from working in the mines. Like you would expect people to be coated in you know, the coal dust and everything might be coating a lot of their hands and faces and stuff. And maybe this is just something that's got on the preacher's neck. Or maybe it is something like a black lung that you remember reading about that people exposed to coal mines will eventually succumb to a black lung disease. And so just from what you're observing, that is where you're going to is that, oh, this is definitely something related to the mining of this town, because that's what a doctor would instantly suspect. But still in the back of your mind, something's nagging at you about this.
Mm-hmm.
Do they seem to be like interacting with it? Do they like scratch that area or anything like that?
No, you don't really see them scratching that. Rodrigo, why don't you roll me an insight plus academia?
It was a trap.
Three successes.
All right. You guys are still maxed out on momentum. You can't go any higher. This looks exactly like the stuff you saw in Belgium.
Yeah. I figured. Yeah, Dutch will bring it up once we're done eating and heading out to the car.
Yeah, there's the man that was been sitting there drinking his coffee and reading his newspaper. Now you see Rodrigo that, yeah, he has one that kind of looks like a cold sore, but it's also like this black splotchy thing in the corner of his mouth. And he just kind of folds up his paper and sets it down. And he's like, thank you for the fine food, Cora. That was so good. So good. And she's like, now, Emmett, when you go outside, you be careful. It has been so cold lately. I would hate for you to slip and fall and freeze to death out in this cold, especially when you're one of our finest customers. Oh, you don't have to worry about that, Cora. You don't have to worry about that at all. And he kind of goes out and you see him kind of turn left. And then you hear like the jingling of the bell in the store next to the cafe. So this guy has just literally walked down the sidewalk one store to get to the this small cafe.
Oh,
he
nice.
He left behind his newspaper and his cup of coffee. And Cora goes over and of course she cleans up the coffee and, you know, wipes down the table.
Puts the newspaper back on the stack for the next person to buy.
No, she kind of just leaves it there for the next person.
All right. Well, once we're done, Dutch will leave a tip, of course.
How much monies are you going to leave?
How much was the meal?
$3.70.
$2.10.
Okay.
With tax, it'll be $2.12. And you can hear Cora muttering under her breath something about FDR.
So Dutch will leave an extra, like, round it up to 50 cents, right? Because
okay, if that's what you want to do.
Back in the day, I don't know.
Yeah. So you leave a good size. You can leave a good size tip, and she seems very pleased with that when you hand it to her. Oh, well, thank you. Please, by all means, you boys come back anytime. You need some hot coffee to go with you on the road?
Would you mind?
Yeah, sure. And as she turns, you can see right above her left eyebrow, a black splotch. And it kind of like tendrils out and starts to blend into her hairline. I mean, it doesn't move while you're looking at it. It's literally the splotch with tendrils kind of going off, spreading off and kind of receding into her hair.
Right. You can see more of it as she turns.
Mm-hmm. Well, boys, it's getting kind of late. Are you guys,
yeah, we're heading
up. I don't know, going up now or what? Cause, I'm not sure that, you don't know these roads. Might be mighty hard for you to find where you're going. I kind of want my car back, my truck back.
Yeah, well, we're heading out now.
Okay, well, good luck to you. And then as you are closing the door, you hear Cora yell out, "Remember, if you think you heard something, no, you didn't."
As we're walking towards the truck, Dutch will gently but firmly take the book away from Valentino.
Oh.
Okay, would you guys engage in a hand-to-hand combat, please?
No. If it's hand-to-hand combat, then he's definitely not doing that.
Agility, like, plus fighting, please. Just to see if you can get it out.
No.
Get it out.
No. Okay. If it's to the point where he holds on to it, then he'll let it go.
Okay. All right.
You guys notice the sores on everybody?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is like what we were seeing in Europe.
Oh, it is. Oh, I was so distracted by how much fun it is to say Numina ultramicroscopic silicocaine conophenosiosis. No, that's exactly what that is. I was thinking it was a black lung disease.
Well, what gave it away for me is that they don't seem to notice it. And in fact, it's unclear to me whether that's actually something that's really there or if we are just, you know, progressively sliding into a perpetual state of horror.
It always kind of makes me wonder if it's not some sort of visage showing us internal decaying on some sort of metaphysical level.
Maybe. You got to wonder what we look like.
Moldering corpses for sure.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and try to get there before it gets too dark.
All right, so everybody piles in to the car. The Blisco was able to get the engine up and going a few minutes before everybody came out, so it's nice and toasty in there. This smells like a grease monkey's vehicle, right? There's the odor of gasoline, grease, oil, sweat in this cab. You do see that there's a thermos on the floor that is starting to roll around. There's also a newspaper on the bench seat between Blisco and Dutch. I'm just assuming, Dutch, you're going to take shotgun again.
Sure, unless somebody else wants it.
Okay,
I'm going to
in the back seat. I'm also going to just assume that you have all taken your equipment, weapons, etc., out of your.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Most certainly, okay. Nothing is left for him to
You don't want Clayton to find your prototype X1 and accidentally blow up half the town?
Not particularly.
Okay.
I mean, I think it would be hilarious.
So in the back, there are some oily rags, and there is a toolbox that has wrenches and pliers and a pipe wrench and, you know, ball peen hammer kind of stuff. Some lube grease is back there as well. This is a work truck.
Gumboots.
And And so, Blisko, you start to head out of town, following the directions of go this way, but don't go too far and be looking for Black's Holler, which means it's going to be nestled way back up in the mountains. And as you're kind of going, quote unquote, that way, you can see that there are some nicer houses closer to town. But definitely as you start to get outside, you know, within like two or three houses, the quality of house just goes down very, very quickly again until you're looking at shacks and houses that have seen better days. You see like some metal mine carts that are kind of rolled over in at the side of the road, rusting out. They've been there for a good many years. And you are just driving into the wilderness of the Appalachian Mountains of Kentucky. Why don't you roll me a D1? 19. Yeah, there is a very brisk cold wind blowing through the trees and over the peaks and the hollers and the twisty, windy ways that even with the windows rolled up and the heater going full blast, you can feel it coming through the floorboards. You can feel it rattling the windows a little bit. But the roads are generally clear in this part of Barlow as you're exiting the city or the town or the hamlet or whatever you would call a very small populated gathering of houses, a village perhaps.
Mm. Yeah, that's good.
Sorry, I don't know what that cracked me up.
Yep. Ah, you don't want to go down that road.
So again, you guys are riding in the truck. There's some tools in the back, some oily rags. There's a newspaper up front with you guys who are.
I'm going to read the newspaper. I keep seeing newspapers everywhere, and I feel like the universe is trying to tell me something.
All right. So this, the one that you pick up is the Barlow Beacon, January 15th, 1940. And so there are a variety of news stories that they have in the Barlow Beacon. It looks to be not a daily newspaper. It looks to be put out weekly based on the fact that the front of this newspaper kind of looks like the one that the man who was sitting in the cafe, the one that just says food on the outside, mm-hmm. was reading. And so there are a number of different headlines that or stories that you could potentially look at as you're driving or as you're riding. One of them is called Frigid Temperatures Set Records in Barlow. Mm-hmm. Another one is Mysterious Lights Spotted Over Frozen Shadowmere Lake. Barlow Bank Announces Sudden Closure Amid Financial Scandal. Local Judge Calls for Calm amid Bank Crisis. Historic Cold Snap Threatens Barlow's Crops. Strange Lightning Strikes in Dunwich, Massachusetts. Unseasonal Serpent Menace Stirs Alarm in Barlow Community. Yeah, those are the main stories.
I'm sorry, what, unseasonal serpent menace?
Yeah. In a bewildering turn of events that has left the residents of Barlow both terrified and puzzled, reports of snake attacks have surged across the county, defying the harsh winter conditions that should have driven these cold-blooded creatures into hibernation. Local hospital reports a handful of victims have been admitted with snake bites, suffering from symptoms of ranging from mild discomfort to severe, life-threatening environmentation. Fancy word for being with venom. The attacks, described by witnesses as unprovoked and aggressive, have occurred in areas where snake sightings have historically been rare, even in warmer months. Notably, each incident took place in the vicinity of the old mines, leading to speculation about changes in serpent behavior, possibly induced by environmental factors or more sinister, unknown causes. Barlow's wildlife management officials are at a loss, with the chief officer stating, "This is unprecedented. Not only should snakes not be this active in winter, but the aggression shown is highly unusual for any species native to this region. Efforts are underway to capture some of the aggressive snakes for study in hopes of understanding this abnormal behavior. Residents are advised to exercise extreme caution, especially when near the old mine entrances or in less traveled woodland areas. The local wildlife department has issued a temporary prohibition on visits to the affected areas and is conducting daily patrols to assess the situation. Communities on edge, with some attributing the phenomena to pollution from the mines, while others whisper of ancient curses tied to the land. And in the parentheses, ha ha. As investigations continue, the town remains gripped in the mystery of these unseasonable serpent attacks, hoping for answers as the cold winter persists.
Mm-hmm.
Good, good, good.
Or snake people?
Mm-hmm. The snake people didn't really seem to have snakes with them.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe. Or it could just be some sort of environmental thing. That's always an option, right?
I feel like you're saying that more to convince yourself than to convince
us. That's ridiculous. Why would I need to convince myself?
Well, we've been with you for the last 6 months. We were here.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, just checking. The bank has closed.
Hmm.
The president of Darkwater Savings and Loan, Milton Grimshaw, announced an unexpected closure of the institution, citing, quote, unforeseen event. Rumors swirl as federal investigators were spotted at the bank's headquarters, igniting speculation of embezzlement and mismanagement. Grimshaw has not been seen since the announcement, and clients are left in turmoil over the security of their deposits.
I do love Steven's, like, aggressive Southern reporter.
Right.
Like, I literally, I had to mute myself because, like, Doc says the bank has closed, and then Steven just launches into it, and I literally picture Doc, like, fumbling the newspaper as this voice, like, erupts out of it.
That's just...
Wow, this guy writes in a strong voice.
He does. And there's mysterious lights over the local lake.
Several residents reported seeing strange, unexplained lights hovering over Shadowmere Lake late Tuesday evening. Witnesses described the lights as bright green orbs that move erratically before vanishing. Local authorities have yet to provide an explanation for the phenomenon, leaving the town abuzz with theories ranging from military exercises to aliens from Mars. And then parentheses, ha ha.
Yeah, they'd be from Venus.
Ha ha. Spelled with a W, by the way.
It's more like H-A-R. Har, har,
har. Let's see. Was there anything else that might be unusual?
So the other headlines that you remember seeing, strange lightning strikes in Dunwich, frigid temperatures set records in Barlow, local judge calls for calm amid bank crises, historic cold snap threatens Barlow's crops, and that was it.
Well, we might as well read them all.
Okay, which one are you going to start with?
Look at this one about the crops.
All right. Barlow's agri-
This is on you, Stephen.
I said I wrote a bunch of nonsense, so here you guys go.
Well, we won it.
Barlow's agriculture sector faces significant threats from the ongoing cold snap, with experts predicting potential devastation to winter crops. The unseasonably frigid temperatures could result in substantial losses for local farmers, impacting the community's economy. Efforts are underway to mitigate damage, including emergency measures to protect the most valuable crops, in parentheses, tobacco, close parentheses. Yeah. No, this is serious. This isn't some made-up thing about men from Mars. Tobacco is a big business. Also, probably bourbon, too. I'm sure. What do they use for bourbon?
Wheat,
mash, the corn mash.
Kentucky bourbon, man. If that crop went into trouble, man, Kentucky would go bankrupt. All right. What else you got?
Let's see. There was another
cold snap.
Cold snap.
Well, that was the cold snap.
That was the
cold snap threatens Barlow's crops. But there was one called frigid temperatures set frigid temperatures Barlow as well.
Let's check.
As the mercury dips lower, Barlow residents are experiencing one of the coldest winters in recent memory. Last night, temperatures reached a record below of minus 15. Local authorities are advising everyone to limit their outdoor activities and ensure their homes are adequately heated. Community center has been converted into a temporary warming shelter for those in need.
Good to know.
Lightning strikes in Arkham, Massachusetts.
Not in Arkham, Dunwich.
Oh, Dunwich, Massachusetts. Yeah. Hey, wait a minute. This may be about us.
In the middle of winter, a strange weather phenomenon took place at Centennial Hill in Dunwich, Massachusetts. Scholars from Arkham were on hand when the events took place, but have reported there's nothing worth worrying about. Madeline Langford, a student at Arkham, said the stones atop the mountain have a high concentration of iron, which combined with recent weather patterns created a series of lightning strikes. Locals were a little less sure, saying something similar happened to 25 years ago, following the death of Old Man Whateley and mysterious property damage in the area.
Sounds like they may have found whatever that was.
Hmm.
Oh, here's a weather forecast for tomorrow.
Cold.
Thank you, Ollie.
I would love to find out that actually this newspaper is fully staffed and it's just that all the writers write like this.
They all write exactly the same way. Ain't that a fine kettle of fish?
Look, here's John. He's 50. I am. And
he poked his head, reporter.
James.
So those were some of the big stories at this point. If anybody would like to know more or ask questions about these, you may, but it will cost you one momentum for each story you would like to have expanded upon.
So he's found a way to kill our momentum, and also...
I mean, I don't, you know, if anybody wants more, like, this seems good for me. Like, I'm sure if there's more to a story, we're going to find out the hard way.
That's true.
Yeah.
And also,
men
I went
found dead in local truck for reading newspapers while driving on the road. Blisko, if you would, let's do one of your famous driving tests, because now that you do, you know, you do see little turnoffs here and there. There's one that says Charlie's Lake, Vincent Pond, White Holler, Gray Holler, and there's one that says Black Holler. You're able to see that, but as you turn off, these roads get super narrow. Like, if there is a car coming the other way, somebody's going to have to be doing a lot of backing up to get to a spot where you could pull over and let the other pass. Mm-hmm. The mountains get very steep back in these areas, and so these roads are just kind of carved out of whatever path they can make. So there's lots of twists and turns. You as a group can see signs of, you know, mine 59 with an arrow pointing up one side path, and it just says closed. You see another one, mine shaft 60, and you see a skull and crossbones on it. Mm-hmm. But these paths are narrow, and the roads are very, very slippery. The pines and the oaks and all the other trees that are here just kind of hug the road very closely. But when you hit an open spot and you're able to see down, oh man, it is vertigo inducing. So let's see if you have any problems driving the road, Blisko. Let us make this one really difficult. Let us make this a D3.
Would this be considered a vehicle terrain test?
Yes, it would be.
Cool. That's a D2.
Okay, cool. And you're off using road. What? Off road. Okay.
Just my natural talents.
Okay. D2.
We're maxed on momentum, right? Yeah, we
are. I'm going to grab a momentum anyways. Cause...
Okay. Hey, two successes. That's not in any of your ranges, is it?
Not in double digits, no.
Okay. All right. I'm just making sure, because who knows with you. Oh, I guess 5 would be the max, right,
yeah.
for driving.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it is. At one point, you all, you know, stop listening to Doc reading from the newspaper out loud, because you all realize that Blisko really, really, really needs to concentrate as he's, you know, downshifting so that the car has a little, or the truck has a little bit more power to it, so that you can make it up this hill and not slide off into the deep gorges below. And eventually you start seeing a little house there, a little mailbox there. And pretty soon you get way up into the side of the mountain and you see a sign that says Whitmore.
Mm. I think we're here, guys.
What time of day is it at this point?
It is late afternoon. It's like 3 o'clock. So that would mean that it is basically dark when you guys pull up, because of the way the sun is setting over the mountains and the fact that it's wintertime. You haven't hit that point of winter where you've passed the equinox to where the days are getting longer. These days are still pretty short. So you pull up onto the Whitmore property with your lights on. It is an old shack. It is, it's old. Think of the backwoodsiest cabin that you can think of and age it and make it a lot more broken down than you're picturing. And that's probably what you see. It probably, Matthew, you made a reference to Beverly Hillbillies earlier, which has been subsequently edited from this podcast that our listeners are hearing. But for those of you who have watched like the pilot of Beverly Hillbillies and you've seen the cabin that Jed Clampett lived in, that's what this kind of looks like.
Yeah. Well, have Blisco pull up at a respectful distance from the house.
Mm-hmm.
And then
there's a light on
distance, just to be sure.
There's a light on, and there's you can tell that there's a fire inside, probably coming from a fireplace. There's no electricity.
Yeah, I'll walk up and knock on the door.
Well, as you all step out, a gunshot rings out and shoots out one of the lights on the truck. And you hear, "Get on my land, revenuers! I told you I'd get your money! Get out! Go on, get! Or I'm next time I'm not going to miss a single one of yous!"
Oh, this is going to cost me.
Yeah.
Yes, hello, excuse me. We are not collectors.
Then who are you?
We served with... Clyde. No, not Clyde.
Theodore.
Yeah, we served with Theodore Whitmore.
You served with my boy?
Yes, we were hoping to speak to you, pay our condolences, talk to you a little bit about him.
Which one of you is the fancy movie star?
That would be this one.
Yeah? What's your name, boy?
They call me Valentino.
And there's a long pause when he hears Valentino. All right, you boys can come on up. If you remember from episode 1, Theodore had written to his mother and given you all shared all the code names that you guys go by.
Yep.
We'll go in.
You get up to the porch and you enter. And this is a small cabin. I mean, there is a main living room area with a stove fireplace. There's a small kitchen. And then it kind of splits off to what look like two rooms in the back, probably bedrooms. And, kind of standing up in the living room area, you see a woman who... it was a little overweight. You can tell that the time has not been super kind to her. She's kind of filled out, but she looks very upset and distressed. You know, her hands are up by her chin, and she's kind of fretting. And she's got some glasses on. She's got an apron on. You see an older man, the one with the rifle. He's got a long beard, and he has on, again, kind of like what you saw Clayton in town. He's got on a warm thermal undershirt, and he's got a pair of boots that are unlaced on because he was just outside trying to shoot at you. He's holding a rifle. Peeking out down the corner, you see a looks like a teenage-ish girl. She's got blonde, curly hair. Blue eyes. She is also wearing kind of like bib overalls and a thermal, like a under, what are they, long johns shirt underneath. Sitting in a rocker by the stove is a very old, by the fireplace is a very old woman. Her hair is pulled back in a bun and she's very skinny and wrinkly. She's kind of just in mid-rock with the knitting in her lap, just kind of staring at you boys as you walk in. And then sitting in one of the chairs is somebody that looks exactly like Clyde. Critical Hit Punch Hall Nazis is a production of Major Spoilers Entertainment and was produced and edited by me, Steven Schleicher. If you would like to get a behind-the-scenes making of this episode, be sure to check out the GM Roundtable Octoon Cthulhu Edition at our Patreon page patreon.com/majorspoilers. Each week I discuss my plans for the upcoming game session, and Dr. Brad Will is there to share his reactions and advice on how to be a better game master. I will warn you, though, there are spoilers galore in every installment of the GM Roundtable Octoon Cthulhu edition. So, if you don't like spoilers and don't want to know what I am planning next, don't listen to these episodes. Though, I will say, if you do listen, you'll be able to see how and where the players throw a wrench into my plans, and you're also going to have greater insight into the world that's being built into this campaign. Finally, we want you to record yourself doing your best on Critical Hit and send it to us at podcast@majorspoilers.com, and your voice will join the growing chorus of fans in upcoming episodes as well. Thank you again for listening this week, and here's hoping all of your dice rolls are critical hits.
This podcast is copyright 2024 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
This week at Macy's, get an extra 20% off with your coupon or Macy's card. That's on top of already great deals, like 25 to 60% off cold weather gear for the whole family, 30 to 60% off select bedding and bath, plus 30% off select small appliances. And Star Rewards members earn on every purchase, except gift cards, services, and fees at Macy's, Macy's Backstage, and Market by Macy's. More at Macy's.com/Star Rewards. Savings off sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.